This is the St. Luligan Podcast Network.
Mitch, Bradley,
hello,
Matthew Bird.
All right,
we're all together. Doesn't happen very often lately.
I recovered from the COVID, so
and I was traveling. Yeah. And Bird is got children, and it's getting harder being fun when you have life to deal with.
Yeah, man,
this sucks. I don't like. Can we just skip all this and just focus on fun?
And until the podcast pays enough where I can quit my day job, podcast will again be done whenever we can do it. But
we're working on it.
Soccer.
Full games.
Well,
full games?
Five.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't count the fifth one because I couldn't watch it.
Okay.
It's full games I've seen.
Three league games.
Mm-hmm.
We are 1-2-0.
Undefeated.
Technically right now, I think we're fourth on the table.
I think that's what I saw.
So that's, I mean, of course, last year we started the season 5-0. That was very unlikely to happen again.
It's unlikely for any.
Right.
Any, like,
right, right.
5-0 period is unlikely.
But so far, so good. We have been bounced out of the Champions League.
What? Well, we're out of a tournament?
You know, these things happen.
Never happened before.
I'm not horrified by that prospect. I would like to do well in the Champions League.
It's weird because the focus should always be the league.
Yeah.
By far and away. That's number one focus all the time. I wouldn't be mad if we got hardware. I would be ecstatic if we got hardware from any tournament.
Yeah, yeah.
But I want to win the league. That's all there is to it.
That's true. And the way I looked at the Champions League is...
The champion.
We were ahead of schedule. Like, I didn't expect to be in the Champions League this year.
Yes.
But last year we had an amazing season.
I'd like to think we'll probably be in it again next year.
I would. Well, I mean, if we do well, it's not easy to get into the Champions League.
The champion.
But
I'm going to keep doing that every time.
Thank you. We'll get there. And I would have liked to have played a Mexican team instead of MLS team.
A foreign team.
Right.
Yes.
And I think I would have been more excited for the tournament if that was happening. Or if we made it past the first round. Well, we would have had to make it
Columbus.
Past two rounds.
Columbus would have.
So as it stands, I'm not gonna be too heartbroken again because we can focus on the league. We won't have midweek games, you know, interfering with that for a while. But all things being equal, I'd rather be undefeated in the league right now and looking to get on track. So let's talk about some of those games. I don't know if we want to do a game-by-game breakdown. I don't think that's really necessary. I will say I've been very impressed with Totland so far.
Mm-hmm.
Our new...
Yes.
Yeah. Is he right back? He's on the right side, right?
I think so.
I've liked what I've seen of him so far. A lot of running, a lot of... you know, getting in place.
He can well time a tackle.
Yes.
Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he doesn't get beaten badly. Like, if he does get beaten, he plays the angle well.
Yeah.
That was one of the things I saw right away.
So that's a new piece that's working, I think, so far. Again.
Right. He has a right back.
Okay. Short sample set, but but so far, so good. I've liked what I've seen of Durbin. Is that his name?
Durkin,
the kid we brought from DC United.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Big Sam started well. Celio looks like he will be our Nico replacement.
Yes.
So far.
Yes, so far.
And AZ's played well, too, up there. But I've been really happy with Celio's
like you said,
get after itness.
He stepped in just... He is Nico V2.0. Like,
yeah.
It is... He is completely playing that Nico role and playing it well.
And able to slot either... underneath the center or pop outside, not afraid to take guys on, which is what Nico brought to the table.
And if he gets too far up, he's fast enough to get back.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, I didn't know where that. We knew when we got rid of Nico, whether you loved him or hated him, he contributed goals and he contributed attack. We knew we were going to have to replace him. I didn't know exactly where that would come from, and maybe we still don't. But right now, it's looking like Celio is going to fill that role.
Totally good with it.
Bird, what have you seen watching?
I am going to do a game-by-game breakdown.
Okay.
The first Houston game, thought we were very sloppy in the first half.
This was the Champions League
first,
game.
Very sloppy in the first. Second half was all right.
Yeah.
I thought we deserved the win. I walked away from the game, and all the players and the staff were doing the big hooray. You know.
That was Jose's goal to win that game.
I'm walking away and going, it's halftime. We've not won it yet.
Yeah.
It's halftime. Why are we celebrating?
Two legs.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought that's going to come back and bite us in the ass.
To me, I think it was more of,
we won this game.
It was our first game at the stadium for the season. You know what I mean? Everybody was excited to be back. And then the way we came back and the new guy scores the goal to win, I think it was just like a release of emotions. I don't think many people were thinking about it being a two-leg thing. I think they were just enjoying. No, and I mean, we should be, but I think people were enjoying the moment.
Yes, agreed.
I'm never going to be upset at people enjoying football.
Yeah, yeah.
But I did walk away going, that's going to come back and bite us in the ass. And
it was more the sloppiness where we gave up the goal to them. It was the away goal that killed us.
But also, we were very close to being 1-0 down at halftime too.
Yeah,
we were pretty bad in the first half. Second half was all right. Yeah. I'm no complaints. The away game in Houston, turgid. We never looked like we were going to get anything from that. The game against Salt Lake, we were turgid.
Now,
we were turgid.
Do we think both of those are a result of Carnell trying to split the squad to do both? Like, should he have said, well, let's focus on winning the Champions League and advancing and give up the league? Or should he have put too much? Did he try to do both and accomplish neither?
I saw online on the Facebook groups and stuff, people saying, well, we played all these games so soon. Well, you know what? Salt Lake played on the Thursday and the Sunday.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody else does.
You know, because they played Inter Milan as a season opener. They were off a short ref too.
Inter Miami. Yeah. If they'd have played Inter Milan, I might have given them a pass. That's a long road trip. But
I'm going to get sued now by Inter Milan.
We're not talking about the middle of the season when it's 100 degrees. Like, these guys should be able to play four games in a week at the beginning of the season.
So the short rest thing was kind of irrelevant because all the teams we played up to that point were on short rest.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it was a level playing field. It's kind of a point game, though, because Real Salt Lake smashed us last year at home.
Yeah, yeah.
So
it's not a bad result, no.
But with the way we played,
yeah,
I don't think we were very good at all. And Carnell said it afterwards. He said, that was bad.
Yeah.
That was bad. Sam with a really nice goal at the end to get us out of jail. Right. But
now, Leuven and a couple other players said the same thing. It wasn't.
I'm not.
But again.
Back to your original point, though, and when we brought this up several times last year, especially towards the end, the squad selection is, I'm never quite comfortable with consistently.
Well,
like, for example, and I'm just saying, for example, Saturday's game, Sam started and
Celio up top.
Yeah. And then I forget what it was, but basically there seems to be, Carnell seems to put two of the same player in at the same time with the substitutions a lot of times. Mm. Like, you know, for example, he'll have Sam and Klausen at the same time, and they both want the ball and they both want to go to net. And then he'll have, like last year's, Nico and, let's say, Celio, who both play the same game coming. You know what I mean?
I would say sometimes that works. And again, we're not in practice. Maybe he's seeing things in practice.
True.
But also, Carnell has said, you know, going back to last season, you know, the whole designated team that Lutz talks about, you know, he should be able to throw out anybody he wants on that field. And Carnell used more players last year than any other coach in MLS.
Yep.
In a starting, you know, we started different combinations. Yes. And like, I don't think Carnell gets locked into guys. Maybe
I think he gets locked into ideas.
Yeah, but it's not like last year I could have named our starting 11.
Oh no, because there was always an injury or something or
oh, your preferred starting 11.
Right, right. But like sometimes it was like, this guy seems to be in more favor. Well, maybe he had a better week at practice, or you know, I mean, barring injuries and things like that, it looks like he's kind of liking Big Sam up there as our number one option. Now, maybe he's, you know, maybe Klaus is working through some things. But I don't know. I think Carnell's always going to kind of keep you guessing on that starting lineup. And it's a good problem to have that he feels confident.
It is fun at the tailgate whenever you get that notification on your phone and you watch everybody pull their phone up and like everybody's, you know, hey, Bert, how you doing? Blah, blah. Ding.
Yeah.
Oh, well, did you see this yet?
And you see some people like, talking. Yes. And you see some people like, ooh.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
But it can be the same lineup that two people are looking at
with
and
completely
having,
different reactions to. And that's kind of where I was going to head with that, is that it's always great because you see these different reactions and you're like, oh, you know what? I get what he's doing. Every manager goes through this in every sport. But it's just kind of like, that seems to be the most heard comment throughout everybody is just, okay,
but I think
what's the thought process here?
Like I said, going back to last year where he used more combinations than any other coach in the league, I think we're going to have that. I think we're always going to have a situation where, you know, Matt likes player X in that spot, and I like player Y in that spot. And sometimes Matt's right, sometimes I'm right, and sometimes we're both going, what the fuck's he starting player Z for?
Yeah,
you know? I mean, you can also change your mind.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I thought Jared Stroud was a great pickup up until about halfway through the season when they fell off a cliff.
Yeah.
You know, and but it's got to be a concern that two of our top four wage earners are starting on the bench right now, in Klaus and Ostrak.
And to be fair, well, we can talk about Ostrak. I think that's a different question than Klaus.
Yes.
Klaus, and I don't do my due diligence. I should be reading the press conferences, and I should be reading all that. Maybe he's working through a little bit of an injury, or maybe, you know, whatever reason. Like, there may be something there. I'm not worried about Klaus.
I'm kind of okay with Klaus. Like, okay, he's the big gun.
Yeah.
You don't bring it out every single time. You know, and that's the other thing, too, is that maybe after last year, the pace wasn't good for Klaus at the end of season. Maybe they're pacing him better this year. I'm not worried about that.
Or it could just be Sam's been looking better in training. Yeah.
But
let's start him.
On the other hand,
I'm not sold on Ostrak.
No.
There's a couple of big years for players. Ostrak, I think Torreson.
To me, I said it before the season started. This was a big year for him.
Yeah.
The couple of times I've seen him in there,
looks
nothing.
Lost.
Nothing.
Looks absolutely lost.
And last year I could have forgiven it because it is a hard system to learn, and it's a new league he's coming to. He's had the full preseason now. He had the last half of last season. He should know his role when he gets out there.
And last year, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt in the fact that all of Lutz's first signings were royal flush. I mean,
pretty much.
They all came in and did a great job.
Yeah.
He's compared to those guys.
Yes. Yeah,
you know, that came in and just hit the ground running.
But if I was him, just throwing this out there, he's a striker. We brought him in to play striker, or up top anyway. Giacchini is sold on. He should be licking his lips saying, this is my opportunity to get that spot. I've got to do everything I can to get that spot. Celio and AZ are ahead of him on the chart.
For real. For real. And for me, Torreson, he came from a mediocre second division Belgian team, and that's the kind of player he looks like, to be honest. And
maybe
he's got a you're right, he's got to grasp it.
And maybe that's all he is. And that doesn't mean he still can't have a good career here, but he should be making some hay right now.
But exactly, because you're seeing Celio make hay.
Yes.
You're seeing other players grab the metal going, this is my shot, I've got to take it.
And watching Celio play, you're going to have to take it from him.
Yeah,
he wants that spot, and he's proven himself.
You know, Adeniran knew he had one shot.
He wants to make it hard for Carnell to make that decision to, well, I know Klaus is the big name, but Sam's You know what I mean? Like, every player out there, no matter who they are, they want that spot. And, you know, you talked about it for years. That's the reason, like, the Premier League or other leagues, we like seeing players over there because it's a fight. I don't care who you are. You know, we talked about Michael Bradley at Roma versus Michael Bradley at Toronto.
Correct.
Well, Bradley Carnell wants that in the St. Louis squad.
And I do think there's a mindset there. I think there's certain players out there that would, as soon as they cross that white line, they're a fighter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. You can put Clint Dempsey in a parking lot with a soccer ball against kids.
He would play
will beat them up because he's a fighter.
The Luligan charity game, he would break someone's leg.
You know, Wayne Rooney was like that.
Exactly.
As soon as he cracked, but then there's players like Dimitar Berbatov if he was asked.
Yeah.
You know, there's and you can't.
And if you don't have anybody pushing you, it's harder, you know.
I think
Bradley has created that environment. But if a guy like Thorsson doesn't step up and take that opportunity, there are guys who will.
Yep. Yes, they absolutely will. And they are.
Yeah, and they are. Yeah.
And they are.
Well, and that's the other thing, too, is that, you know, that is one of the big differences between MLS and some of the second division in the middle of Europe, where for every Thorsson that isn't given his heart, there's 50 college grad, you know, or, you know, 17, 18-year-olds that want that shot. You know, just the sheer volume of opportunity.
And again, I don't want to be overly harsh on Thorsson. He may still
He may
still find his role in this team. But I think when we signed him, we thought we were getting more.
Yes.
And maybe he's not a good fit for the league, or maybe his role isn't going to be. Maybe he will be a super sub, or maybe he will be, you know, somebody come in with fresh legs, but. He had an opportunity to make that job his.
Yeah. And sometimes it's as daft as he might just score a hat trick one day and he'll fly.
Well, I mean,
you don't know.
His very first game at St. Louis, he scored a goal and we thought, oh, he's got a little pop, you know. Now, sometimes that happens.
Dude,
never happens
we
again.
We were playing against Dallas who had a player sent off after 10 minutes.
No.
And, you know, let's.
But again, you don't know what's going to happen. And like I said, he may still prove me wrong. He may still be a valuable part of this
team. I want
team.
To be proved wrong. I genuinely want.
But he's going to have to work for it. It's not going to be given to him just because he gets paid more.
You know,
because
no one's giving it to Cecilio. He's busting his ass every game for it.
And he's making a case, yeah.
And but the New York City game, I thought it was a marked improvement.
New York City FC is dog shit on the road.
But we made them look dog shit.
They were never going to score.
Oh, they were terrible.
But we made them look terrible. I mean, we earned it. We went out and won. But it's like, I don't want to get too excited
I agree with you. Yeah. But we also.
Tiny championship banner notwithstanding.
We made them look shit.
We did.
And.
But everybody else makes them look shit, too.
I mean, they've lost three in a row. Charlotte beat them.
Yeah.
Poland beat them. We beat them. But if ever there's a team you want to face to build a little confidence, get a little momentum going, it's them.
Yeah. I'd like to welcome them back anytime.
And I wish we got them in the CONCACAF Champions League. they were terrible.
Yeah.
They were awful. But fuck them.
Exactly. But, again, we've all been on teams or not been on teams, but been fans of teams who we say, oh, this week's going to be a walk. We're going to destroy them. And we've stubbed our toe.
Yeah.
I mean, we could have drawn that game. We could have lost that game. So, yeah, the fact that we won, I'm not getting too excited about, but I'd be pissed if we lost
it. Yeah, that was one of those. Like
It was a trip up game waiting to happen.
Yeah.
But
we took care of
it. Within 10 minutes, you knew we were never going to lose that game.
And the fact that we took care of it was like, a little bit of that moment of what we, you know, like you were saying, that they didn't look great in the first couple, but they didn't trip up. They weren't making dumb plays. They weren't playing down to the competition.
It gave us a chance to get a little healthy mentally, I think. Like, we weren't facing Inter Miami with four designated players or whatever they have. Like, Bradley Carnell said, okay, we can go out and do what we want to do this game and everybody get in, you know, form. and they went out and did it. They didn't have to worry about, you know, Messi and Suarez pounding them.
I think sometimes you watch a game within 10 minutes, you know how it's going to go. And within 10 minutes of that game kicking off, you knew it wasn't a problem.
Yeah.
It was there was only ever going to be one winner that game.
And thank God it was us.
Well, it was never going to be other way. I mean, they said they were dog shit. Yeah, yeah. They are dog shit, but also
you got to play the teams that are in front of you.
We made them look awful.
I mean, they could be a dog shit team that we made look good. You know, we've done that before too.
Mm-hmm.
So, thank heavens. Austin, I'm still of the opinion a point on the road is a point on the road.
Smash and grab, man.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I mean, theoretically, you looked at that game. I think going in, I would have expected us to go down there and win because they do have some roster holes. But
it is a hard place to go, though.
They do have a good environment. We again, you get a point on the road, that's a win to me. Like, that's bonus, and carry on with your day. So this weekend, we got Galaxy, a little bit harder of an ask.
Yeah.
But again, early in the season, we'll still have to see where things are going to shake out.
It's fucking 10:30. 10:30 at night.
These West Coast games are fucking killers. Like, we can't even do watch parties because the bars don't stay open that late. And not that I blame them. I mean,
I wouldn't. It's going to be hard for me to even like be down here. Well, I'm probably going to watch in bed and on the iPad.
Well, and then we did that there was a game last year where it was kind of borderline, and second shift said, you know what? We're going to stay open late. And then there was like a couple rain delays, and they're like,
that's what it
fuck
was.
It. Yeah. Like, we tried, guys, but now it's going to be 3 a.m. before this game's done, you know?
Yeah, it was like 10:30, 11 o'clock, and they still hadn't gotten to halftime.
And whenever they made the last delay call, we all kind of looked at our watch and said, you know, if we could leave right now and make it home for kickoff, you know? And it was just like, we tried. So, again, it's an L.A. game. It's going to be a late kick. That is the one downside about being in the West. Second shift
after traveling to California last week. Yes, very much so.
Well, that and the cost. I mean, your per diem does not go far when you're in MLS in the West Coast.
No, it does not, especially if you're in LA. And
but I think again, second shift's been a great watch party partner. But I don't know if we're going to do this week. We're not. Just because
it
starts
a 9:30 game, we're not. And again, like you said, that was, you know, we talked about it with Libby and the crew, and it's just like they can't.
She's got to pay people to stay there late, and we have a lower turnout when it's that late.
Yeah, that's the other thing too. Like if it was, you know, the turnout for a 7:30 game. Yeah. Okay, maybe it would be.
Or if it was the first game of the year, or if it was a playoff.
Consequential.
You know, they would stay open late for us, but
circumstantial, it'll happen.
You know, fourth game of the year, it's not.
It's not worth it. And let's be honest too, that from a safety perspective, you know, 9:30 watching a game, having a few beers, by the time the game's over, it's 12:30 maybe, you know, better you stay home and have the beers.
All right.
Or
so
12.
So but so far, so good. I'm not going to bring up the MLS power rankings or anything because it's still early, and
it's whose line is it anyway?
Even
the points are made up.
The last game of the season, the power rankings fucked to me.
I was concerned after three games. I'm not going to lie, but the last three games they played all right.
Okay,
I was concerned, but I had a raised eyebrow, if that counts.
The other coaches have had a year
to figure us out.
A videotape. Yes.
Right.
You know,
right.
I think.
Honestly, though, I think really most coaches after a half season should, as a professional coach, you should be figuring
it out. They've got analysts out there going, talking to their midfielders going, okay, when Lovren gets the ball, 70% of the time he goes to his left.
Book was out on us halfway through the season last year.
Yes. And we saw it. We saw it.
And it went down, but it didn't fall off a cliff. It didn't fall apart. We're still a dangerous team. When things are clicking, we're still, you know, and we've added some pieces to it. Houston's a better team than they get credit for, so I don't, like, take too much.
They are a good team.
I'm good with it. We'll see where we are after Galaxy, and then we get another home game, and, you know, much better team at home. I mean, that's true in the league you know, numbers wise, it just bears it out. Home teams are better. And I think we have a distinct home field advantage, like some of the better places in the league. So
can confirm.
I'm okay with that.
Saying that, I do think that as you know, the next four or five games go, this is where we're going to see what we're made of.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think we can relax and say everything's good, but I think we're on an okay path right now. Had we lost three games, I'd be a little more, you know, upset about it. But we're not like coasting through the league.
Well, I mean, we go LA, DC, Salt Lake, Dallas, or the next four, and that's kind of a
decent
ping pong, ping pong ish a little bit, and then Austin again after that.
But we'll have a better idea after those games where we really are.
Mm-hmm.
But also on the flip side, we've come from behind a couple of times. We scrapped two last minute goals.
Yeah, this team doesn't give up. I mean, that's part of our.
I mean, they're up. Even in those three games where we were shite, there are things to be positive about.
I do like Carnell's. I like his. What are you going to call it? Ethos or his team.
MO.
Just kind of never give up. He's got them motivated. He seems to. He's instilled a spirit of we can do this no matter what.
But that also goes back to what we were just talking about with Sam and Celio and AZ. They've got to grasp it. If they look like they've given up on the field, they'll be gone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can't do that.
But we've seen it. We've seen other teams throughout the years, like really good teams sometimes.
Fuck, we had season tickets for some of them.
But there's some teams that when you smack them in the mouth, they don't respond.
Mm-hmm.
This team does. So I'd much rather not get smacked in the mouth. I'd much rather come out and do the smacking.
Yeah.
But even when it doesn't, like sometimes when we start rolling, you can get one of those four goal games because this team can dump them in quick when it happens.
Yeah.
But when that doesn't happen, we do have, I don't know if it's a plan B necessarily, but we don't have a, you know, we do have a bend, but not break. Like sometimes when that first goal comes in, you're like, oh fuck, here we go. I'm never going to give up on this team if they go a goal down. Like they've always got that punch back.
Yeah. I think we've always looked dangerous going forward, you know, and two last minute goals in five games.
Yeah.
You know, there are even in the three games where I don't think we played particularly well. Yeah. The word positives.
I don't want to rely on the last minute goal.
I'd rather not.
But it's not out
but
of the
But I tell
question.
You what, when you're 2-1 down in the 89th minute, you're begging for a last minute goal. Mm-hmm.
But we've all been there when, like, this ain't going to happen. Like, there's no way. Because we've had teams that don't create anything. Yeah, I mean.
That has been probably about 80% of the previous 13 years of the Hooligans.
Yeah, but even going like whatever your Premier League team is, we've all had those seasons where it's like, oh shit,
mm-hmm.
you know, and up to the point of sometimes like, do we really even need to watch this game? Like you don't even have to kick off.
We know how it's going to
happen. I know we're going to lose this game.
It's going to be 2-0, right. Maybe 3-1.
So anyway, let's talk about a couple of the things that are going on in the league right now. I did talk to our friend, who does both kinds of electricity. Mitch, do you want to tell people a phone number?
Who would that person be?
Well, he goes by Mark Gardner, and his company is called Your Electric.
314-814-3897. That number again, 314-814-3897. He does both commercial and residential. And
both kinds.
And he's kind of a cute guy sometimes.
He is a cute guy.
And
mine is Mark Gardner.
And hold on, though. I am not happy with him today.
Okay.
Because he is trying to talk me out of buying a used ambulance for the Hooligans.
Well,
mind you, he wanted it because he wanted a like 30-foot trailer with the money.
Yeah.
That had like a smoker pit and a patio on it and stuff like that.
Let's get a Winnebago.
Yeah, it basically was. It was basically a tour bus, but I wanted the ambulance. Ambulance.
Well, the reason I talked to our friend Mark Gardner at Ear Electric, and most of you know this, Mark Gardner is a certified and official referee. And
does he run the line as well?
He does both kinds. he does offense and defensive refereeing. But so we're on week, I guess, four now of the MLS ref lockout. The pro, well, it's weird. MLS contracts with pro, pro contracts with referees. So MLS hasn't, I guess pro has locked out their own referees.
Yes.
Is how you would I technically believe, say it.
Yes, because they're the ones that are hiring the scabs.
Right. So anyway, the first choice refs have not been doing the games thus far. The last time this happened was 2014 or 15, somewhere around then. And then it lasted 2 weeks and they got the deal done and they brought him back. So far, MLS and Pro have not caved to the demands of the referees union. And they've brought in scabs. Well, I don't want to say scabs. Replacement referees. Technically, these are certified referees. They just haven't worked up the ranks. They've gotten them from other places. They've gotten some retired guys.
We got the most beautiful referee in Brazil or whatever it was this past weekend.
Right. One referee who did the Miami game, the pictures came out of him in Barcelona jerseys and like
it was a Miami jersey. So that's where they pulled him.
I mean, these are people. They're allowed to be fans of the game, but it does not look good when your referee is wearing, you know.
And it was against Orlando.
And it was, right. So
I think that was what it was more than
that
anything.
Was more than anything. But I just asked Mark Gardner.
Mark Gardner of EuroElectric?
Mark Gardner of EuroElectric and U.S. whatever Federation referees.
U.S. Federation of both kinds.
Both kinds. As a fan, I'm... You know, people say, you know, oh, the referees are awful. I'm always like, you know. Now, when I'm in the stadium and a call goes against my team, I'm apoplectic. Every call should go for my team. But when I go back and look at the replays or whatever, I'm like, I can see how, you know, like, I'm pretty lenient on the referees calling a game in real time. Matt, you've done some officiating back home.
Yeah.
It is an impossible job out there. For the most part, like you're going to miss some, even if you're the best referee in the world.
You have to keep up with world class athletes.
Yes. So, but
and also, you're going to forgive a guy for ballooning a ball over the bar from 5 yards away, who's on $1 million a year, and then scream bloody murder about a guy who misses a foul throw in, who's on $500 a week.
Right.
You know.
So this is why I reached out to Mark Gardner. I said to Mark, I'm just a fan. Now, I think I know what a call is and what it isn't, but even I get like, that's a close one. I don't know if I'd call it that way or I can see this. I said, but you're a referee. You watch these games a little differently than all of us. And going back for years now, we've always had Mark on to help us with certain calls or things.
Without Victory Crab Rangoons.
Right. I said, do me a favor. I said, just give me your quick response to the question. The refs have been better, worse, or about the same as the previous refs.
Before you do that,
yeah,
let's go around the table.
Okay.
Bird?
I've not noticed a sizable difference.
I haven't either. I think they're about the same.
I've seen some calls that I don't agree with, but I've seen that every year.
The only thing I will say is that I think at the first couple games, and I watched a handful of games around the league, is that I felt like the players may have been trying to push them a little bit, you know, like bully. I don't want to say bully them, but, you know, influence them. And when they realized they couldn't, I see no difference.
That will come up. Okay. So here's Mark's trained eye. He said, to the trained eye, they have been worse. He said, the last time this happened was in 2014. It only lasted 2 weeks. Now he feels it could continue for a longer time, especially with VAR there to help clean up mistakes that are made. But he said the City game over the weekend, for example, they should have delayed more time to look to see if the ball crossed the line. Not necessarily that it would have been called, but a seasoned referee would have waited and given more time to see the call and make the right determination.
So that's actually a good point I didn't think of, is that most of these referees probably aren't.
They've never had VAR before.
Yeah.
And they call up to the booth, and the booth might say, it's good, go, or it's bad, go. A referee might say, I want to take a look at that.
Yeah, hold on, let's get a better shot.
Mark said he's seen numerous offside calls that have been called too early that the ref would let play out before blowing the whistle. So when we're watching it live, a lot of times you'll see that lineman flag go up, but the ref won't blow the whistle until the play happens, mm-hmm. just to see what happens.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
If
he was in an offside
over.
Position, but not necessarily, didn't really affect the play mm-hmm. of the game or whatever. He said a more seasoned ref would let things go.
I'm going to argue that that doesn't make the referee worse.
No.
They're just refereeing it how they referee high school games, where
right.
there is
yes.
no VAR.
Right. Yes. And it's an experience thing with the league.
And I will say with that, though, too, is that I kind of give them a little bit of leeway on that just because it's one of those situations where, yes, it's a judgment call by the linesman, and you have to trust your linesman. And you, while you're also watching the play,
we'll get there.
Oh Jesus, am I just setting up like everything
yeah,
here?
Did you ask for a quick quote or no?
So, next part is game management of players has been rough in regards to the arguments and confrontations. It takes experience over time to learn how to deal with it all. You never know how you'll react as the ref until it happens to you, and you rely on the experience of your team, your other refs, and your mentors to handle it all. Again, these guys know these players. They work with them. They've worked with them for years. So when Matt Bird comes charging at me to complain about something, I've got a relationship with Matt Bird. And I might be able to say, Bird, back off. I'm going to give you a card. Or I know you're not going to hit me.
Yeah.
You know what? Like we have different relationships with each other.
Yeah.
And these guys don't know these guys. And I do think the players have been trying to intimidate.
Yes.
And some guys are famous.
I mean, you know, if Messi comes up and starts arguing with me, it might be in my head.
So he said it's gotten better. Like, he said the first week was worse.
If Jesse Zardes comes up and starts arguing with me, I'm just throwing him.
So that's a factor. And then I mentioned what you mentioned, Mitch. I said, so if you and I, if us three are regular referees,
mm-hmm.
we may not be a part of the same crew every week, but we know each other.
Yeah.
Mitch knows, I'm working with Brad today. Brad's going to call it like this. I'm working with Matt. I trust Matt, you know, covering that side. If Matt has his flag up, I'm going with Matt. Like, you get relationships with your coworkers.
Yep.
These guys are all brand new. Maybe they work together. Maybe they haven't. I've never seen Mitch before. Now we're working a game together. He doesn't know that my offside line is different than his offside line, or I don't watch the guy kicking the ball. I watch the front guy, so I need to keep an eye on when the ball. You know what I mean? Like, you get a certain pattern when you're working with guys. These guys are all brand new, and you learn to trust guys that you've worked with over years. So even the fourth official, when the fourth official tells you something over your headset, well, fuck, I don't know this guy. But
along the same lines, I would imagine, though, at the lower divisions / college or wherever these guys are coming from, that's actually probably fairly common, though. That, you know, yes, if you're working a game in St. Louis, where you're from, you probably know the 15 guys that are here. But if they send you to ref the game in Champaign, Illinois, you're not going to know those guys.
But the thing is, if you drop the ball there in Champaign, Illinois, 200 people call you out on it.
Right, yeah.
If you drop the ball at City Park,
22,000 people.
And an audience of 50,000 yeah. watching on the stream. You
well,
know,
and also, if we're the regular referees,
mm-hmm.
I know Matt's been doing this job at this level for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you just pulled this guy up from, I don't know when the last time he refereed
Mid-state
a game.
Tiger.
I don't know. Have you been retired for 6 years? Or have you been doing high school? Like, what level are you? Maybe I don't trust you, so I've got to watch everything a little more. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have a level of confidence with everybody around you.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you think you're great, you still got to have trust in your team. So these are just some of the things that Mark Gardner had noticed. Again,
I like that it's one word now, Mark Gardner.
Mark Gardner. Not that it's been horrible. I don't think, you know, there's always a game every season where you're like, oh, that one call blew the game for us. You know, maybe a called penalty or a not called penalty.
Four offside goals. Or against the same opponent right, 2 weeks apart.
Exactly. Like, and that can happen.
I will get over the Great Wall of China before I get over that.
Oh, and you know what?
And I've never been
so.
To China.
But again, that can happen with seasoned referees. That can happen, whatever. I have not seen anything egregious, you know, and I'm not watching every game, but I'm watching the highlights, and I'm, you know, there have been some bad calls, but there's always bad calls. I haven't seen anything that's like, oh my God, get the real refs back now. But I still would like the best referees available. And for whatever you want to say out there, you know, I know some people were like, oh, fuck them. They aren't any good anyway. You know, anybody could be better than those guys. Well, they were the best America had to offer. I mean, they'd worked their way up to that level. Now, I'm not saying nobody else can do the job, but again, there's good soccer players all across the country in USL and, mm-hmm. and MPSL and, you know, the various leagues. If MLS locked out their players and they called up USL players to play the game, there'd be some entertaining games, but you're not getting the best. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how I feel about the referees.
Well, and one of the things is, too, is that let's go back 10, 15 years, too, is that parents of soccer are shit.
Yes.
And we do not have the referees involved that we want to.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So there is a shortage of quality officiating in soccer because of these horrible parents. And then as you build it up, it gets
harder and harder.
It is a physically taxing, like, you know, a baseball umpire, he can be 300 pounds and be behind home plate.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? But like, he doesn't have to be sprinting.
I mean, the refs are you know, an average midfielder on the mileage they cover.
Really? Yeah. Yeah. And it's the same in hockey, too, where the linesmen and the referees are constantly. But as a comparison, that is one of the things is that in hockey, you'll see a lot of guys that didn't make it. Like, oh, I could never get past, you know, AA. I'm going to be a ref to stay in the game.
Yeah.
Soccer, they all go become coaches.
Yeah.
Or they get real, you know, their primary job is their focus.
And I will say, I did, when this was first happening and people were asking questions, and again, thankfully, the players' union did not ask fans, or even the referees' union did not ask fans not to go.
Yeah.
They understand this is a business thing. It's a, you know, whatever. But whenever somebody would say, oh, fuck those referees, they're overpaid anyway, my first reaction was to send them that link to U.S. Soccer. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know,
the course is next week.
You go be a referee. And we do have some. We've got Gardner. We've got Bob Delaney. We've got
Gardner's son.
Gardner's sons are doing it. Like
that Billy Johnson guy just took his class.
It's a thankless job. It is. And, yes, they are getting paid more than they used to. But it's still not, you're not getting rich on a weekend doing a couple of games. And I will say that the MLS refs aren't getting rich. I mean, just a few years ago, NFL refs finally got to the point where
it's
a full-time job.
Yeah.
So I don't want to argue about what the refs are asking for versus what they deserve, but I think it's in the best interest of everybody to get this done so we have the best referees available. Okay. And if some of these replacement referees are making the grade, put them in the pool.
Celio and Sam, you take your opportunity and grab it.
Well, exactly.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
And maybe some of these guys will get hired full-time because they're doing a good job. They should be. But
And the neat thing is that the way the pro referees are talking about it is that they're not necessarily opposed to that, where, like, when baseball umpires had the...
Right, they
the,
were...
The, your scab.
They wanted those guys blackballed for life.
Yeah, it was very much that kind of situation.
Well, and also, I think...
referees are going to get promotional relegation before the teams.
But I was about to say that. Like, if some of these guys come in and are doing good, maybe pro should say, hey, all right, we want to bring back the better ones, but you know what? They do ratings on these refs, and... You know, you've had a bad couple of years. You've been in the bottom of all linesmen for the last 2 years.
Well, like,
we're going to have them back, but not you.
Every year.
Well, if you shit at your job, you get fired. That's why.
Every year, Angel Hernandez is the worst umpire in Major League Baseball. Every year. He's still got a job. And he's still there pulling his same bullshit. If
I want a strong pro, union, but not that strong.
Yeah. If pro can figure it out to where it is that way, more power. I mean, seriously, that would be fantastic for the game.
From the business aspect, though, I mean, the referees are watching salaries go up. They're watching Messi. They're watching the streaming.
TV contracts.
They're watching the, you know, I mean, a rising tide has to lift all boats.
In the past.
All boats.
In the past, you know, 8 to 10 years, MLS salaries have gone from the lowest guys in the league making $14,000 a year to now, I mean, they're still not rich by professional athlete standards, but they're making decent money.
But I also made the point off the mic beforehand that I just bought 3 tickets to a League 2 game.
Yeah.
The adult tickets are $10 each. UN's ticket was €8.50, right? Yeah. So it's €10, €8.50. It costs more to go to a Division 3 American Reserve Team game than it does to go to a League 2 game in France.
Part of that money should be trickling down to the refs.
It has to. It has to. You know, I don't think what they were asking for was egregious.
Well, and also, by the way, if you hire Lionel Messi, you got to protect him. You've got to pay a referee to keep control of that game. You know what I mean? Like, investing in your players. You're investing in technology. You're investing in better fields. You're investing in better stadiums. You've got to invest in the better referees.
And if you're paying them well, you're going to entice more people to go into that field.
But if you pay them enough where they can quit their job and get proper health insurance, take care of the family.
This is the United States.
They will dedicate their lives to running on grass with a whistle.
And either that. When they're done, they will set up the next generation to do it.
Yeah. Or you invite the Italian paper sacks of money in the locker room.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so right now the minimum salary for MLS.
That is a joke, by the way. I don't want to insinuate that.
Minimum salary for MLS is $67,360.
Yeah.
If you're under 25, $36,500.
So there's still a not.
$36,500 is not enough for a lot of
especially
these guys.
If you're in San Jose.
Yeah, or LA or
New
York.
But if you're in Paris Saint-Germain's reserve team.
Yeah,
you're probably on about the same amount. I haven't lived in Paris.
I bet you're making more.
I bet it's close. Paris Saint-Germain's reserve team.
So like they're 2 team.
Yeah.
Well, like a championship team, they make more than that.
Oh yeah. Okay. I bet Josh Sargent's on $70,000 a week.
Yeah.
Okay. So here I'm looking at the PSG one here, and the reserve team 88,
65, 31 euros.
No, it's America. It's converted to American.
So 31.
So it's about the same for a reserve team.
But again, if you're talking,
because you want to instill that, we keep going back to that, the Celio or Sam, grab your. Yeah. You want to be hungry. You've got to be hungry.
Yeah. Not too hungry, but not too full.
But I bet Nico is making more money in Italy than he was making here.
You know what? At least here he knew his check was in the bank on Friday.
Well, that's a good point. Anyway, do we want to hit the Open Cup or do we want to not? Because it's,
you know what, it is a testy topic. I think we've pretty well said for 15 years now how much we support the Open Cup. We've had a charity du jour for the Open Cup. It is the most important tournament in North America.
When the MLS teams enter whatever round that is, because there's I think 8 MLS teams playing in it this year, we may have more to say about it. We'll probably have more to say about it when the League's Cup rolls around, but for right now I think it's suffice to say that we are unhappy that MLS is not allowing all of their teams to participate in the Open Cup. Is that a fair way to say it?
That's an understatement, but yes.
I will reiterate what I said when I first heard what was going on, that modern football is doing my head in.
Well, I mean,
and it's not just the Open Cup or MLS, it's Greenwood, Mason Greenwood, Ronaldo, the Super League.
The Super League,
The corruption in Italy. It's just a nation states owning teams in England. It's just a manifestation of everything.
Wait, here's what I'll say about it. Regardless of the fact that I want teams to play for the Open Cup, and I would like to win the Open Cup as St. Louis.
More than, just short of winning the league.
Right. My bigger problem with it is it's part of the Division I rules. Like, the rules that U.S. Soccer has established say that if you want to be the top division in football,
you have to participate.
You have to participate in the Open Cup. And MLS said, no, we don't want to. And U.S. soccer caved. That's my biggest problem. I mean, it's not my biggest problem with it, but it, like, if we're just going to be legal and fair about this, MLS doesn't have a leg to stand on, but U.S. soccer bowed
down. We've also said for years that U.S. Soccer Federation is not fit for purpose.
No, they're not fit for purpose.
And I think that's really...
And the FA would not let the Premier League out of the FA Cup.
When those five teams wanted to go join the European Super League...
FIFA involved.
Well, there was fans were protesting in the streets.
Yeah. And
whereas here, it's all like, oh, well, you know, take the club, give the club the benefit of the doubt.
Some people have thanked us for speaking out. Some people have told us we should be more grateful and we should just do whatever the league says or whatever. I mean, you can have your opinion on it. And we've never told anybody not to have their own opinion on it. We just think it's very important, the Open Cup and the history of the Open Cup and St. Louis's legacy in the Open Cup.
If this was St. Louis FC,
yeah,
we would have the same stance.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
If it was the Lions at fourth division, we would have the same stance.
If this was...
I just think it's a participation.
If we were in MLS and USL tried to pull out of the Open Cup, we'd call bullshit on them.
Yeah. But again, I think it is because we know the history, the legacy, the importance. It is a beautiful part of the game, and I hate to see it sullied just because...
It's a fucking trophy. We can win.
I mean, at the end of the day...
Yeah, I mean, again, I'll take any hardware at this point.
And going back, I don't want to do too much on this, but comparing it to League Cup just a little bit, if you gave me the option of which trophy I won in the cabinet, the Open Cup has history and importance to me in St. Louis.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, the St. Louis
Especially St. Louis.
If I was in Columbus or...
If I was in Minnesota, where they famously have 10,000 lakes and zero Open Cups, maybe it doesn't mean anything.
The funny thing is that as soon as you said Minnesota, I almost started the chant.
We've ever done.
I didn't cut you off.
Yeah.
I was proud of myself for not interrupting your joke. So, yes. I know what I saw.
Yeah, I know what I saw. But the Open Cup means a little extra to St. Louis or maybe some of the other, New York,
Pennsylvania.
There are pockets that, you know,
It means more to us than it does to U.S. fucking soccer, apparently.
Well, they're bending over and taking it.
I'm still disappointed, though, in U.S. soccer that, you know, it is.
They first said, no, you have to play.
Well, no, I'm even going back. When Klinsmann came in and everybody has their own opinion on him.
Yeah.
He brought up, we need to rebuild the system.
Yeah.
We need to this is the time to reset and get organized and be one of the best leagues, you know. And the old club said no, and here we are. You know,
they brought him in to be an advocate for change until he tried to be an advocate for change.
Yes. Yes.
They said none of that.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of my thing is that.
No, change them, not us.
Soccer is probably one of the most progressive sports in terms of adopting change in the world. Mm-hmm. VAR, technology and boots.
Hey, we're going
to
have sensors.
So probably one of the worst things to do is have a bunch of crusty old white men in charge of it.
Yes, yeah, very much so.
That, don't want to spend any more money.
Yeah, well.
Anyway. All right, moving on.
Crusty old white man.
Moving on from that.
I would love to be a crusty old white man.
That kind of money. I am without the money. I do want to give a shout out to Ellie Bentley. For those of you who haven't seen this story, she is a young woman who is living in St. Louis. She originally came to St. Louis because she was Indy Vasilev's partner. She's from England. Her and Indy have evidently broken up since this happened. But she was in Tower Grove. She witnessed a shooting that was going on. Because it's the United States. It's the United States and gunplay is involved. Poor thing evidently kind of got down and hid.
Underneath a car.
Underneath a car, whatever. And then the guy in the car took off and drug this poor woman a couple of blocks. She's had several surgeries. She's got a GoFundMe going. You can check our Twitter and our Facebook and Instagram. Please give if you can, even though she's no longer... related to Indy.
But that's irrelevant.
Well, that's irrelevant. She deserves support anyway, mm-hmm. but she did come to St. Louis because of soccer.
Mm-hmm.
And we are look out for our and for God's sake, she's a foreigner. I'm sure the American medical system is going to screw her tremendously.
And the other part is too is that when reading up on her, she's brilliant.
Yeah,
she's smart, isn't she?
She's got. I was like, she's getting a doctorate or something at Wash U, or I don't know what
like,
it is. But
she's got like, you know,
she's got degrees
math
in like,
and physics and
astrophysics.
She's got degrees in things that didn't exist 20 years ago.
And so. She's working in research in St. Louis, which, by the way, St. Louis has a tremendous
research
reputation.
Hub. Yeah.
They're trying to build this program, but it's not going to work if people are afraid to come work here. So please, if you're able to, you know, give a couple bucks or retweet it or whatever you want to do to spread the word. We all know horror stories of the American medical system. You know, I had to pay $20,000 when my daughter was in the hospital for a week because it wasn't one of my preferred hospitals.
Dude, my back surgery.
Yeah.
I'm still getting bills from December.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because they'll say, oh, you know, on January something, they said you owe $8,000.
Yeah.
Okay, I owe $8,000.
When I first.
And then, and then February, I get a bill that says, oh, you only owe $4,000. Okay, cool. And then March, I get a bill that says you owe $12,000.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's such a clusterfuck that nobody could figure it out.
You know, when I first posted that on Saturday morning, someone wrote back to me and said, that could happen anywhere, though.
Yeah.
And I said, yes, it could. But if it happened anywhere else, the family wouldn't be going bankrupt.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
That's the difference.
Well, and that's the other thing. Her family have now flown over here. So they've had to give up their job for at least a temporary time, flown over to another country. They're staying here to take care of her, to help her through her rehab, through her surgeries, whatever. Like, it is just a...
The ripple effect out of this is... But yeah. Here's the other thing, too, and I thought about this when we were talking about it the other day. I really hope the poor guy that was driving the car is okay, too. Because assuming that he isn't involved in the foul play that was going on.
I mean, I'm sure he was freaked out.
If he's just a patron and he did the same freak out that she did, and he jumped in his car trying to get away from bullets and he dragged her, the amount of guilt that would go with that, I couldn't imagine. So I hope for his sake, he's doing well too.
Yeah. And we're finding out more about the story as it goes on. But anyway, and Matt, like Matt said, this could be somebody, just anybody that this happened to. We were made aware of it because of her tangential relationship to the St. Louis soccer family. So it's just one of those things. Like, if you can, give a few bucks. I want to give a shout out to Second Shift. We mentioned them earlier. Watch parties. That's our official home for watch parties. But as mentioned, the 10:30 kickoff time is going to rule that out for this Saturday.
If you weren't at the watch party this past week, you missed out.
I was.
So they had, it comes around, I think, twice a year, a lobster
Cousins,
food truck.
Cousins Maine Lobster.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That was one of the best lobster rolls I've ever had. Aaron got the lobster tots, which I think she came up for air once. They had whoopie pies that were unbelievable. The line was awful because their app broke. So I literally waited in line for an hour and a half for our food.
Yeah.
Worth every second of it.
Okay, so we will be at Second Shift. And by the way, they have Central State sandwiches too.
Unbelievable
they
sandwiches.
They have confirmed whenever there's a watch party, they will be open.
They were doing a great business on Saturday just because people didn't want to wait
for
an hour and a half.
And they're very good.
Yes.
So shout out to Second Shift. Our other main bar partner is Schlafly for the home games. The street parties this year, kind of cool. We've got a new setup if you haven't been down there. We've been setting up in that sort of side lot behind the brewery. The street is still shut down. People are still partying on the street. We put the food trucks on the street.
In the promenade.
They've got some tables set up. It's been nice. I think, by and large, most people are liking the new setup. But if you haven't been down there, please come down and check it out for a home game. I want to mention City 2 kicks off their season this weekend if at City Park. So I mentioned this on Twitter, but City 2, there's three good reasons to go to a City 2 game. one, you can see potential future first teamers playing, working it out, you know, getting their swerve on. Second of all, it's a way to just go check out the stadium if you haven't been able to get first team tickets, because it is still a hot ticket in town. It's still kind of expensive. It's a good way to just go see a game. And third, it's if you have kids, it's the cheapest way to take your family to see a game. Tickets for, I think, 12 and under are $5 each. I get when you want to take your family of four to a city game, that's expensive now. Like, even the cheapest tickets, you know, it's going to be $100 and then, you know, $50 to park and then the hot dogs and the sodas and beers and everything. So if you just want to take your kids to a soccer game and give them a taste of the big park and sort of, they put on a good show, the play is good, the league is a good quality league, this is a great way to take your kids, you know, to take four kids to the game for less than $20.
And they have a lot of the food options open too, so it's not like completely bare bones.
They do have some fun stuff going on in the concourses. They do try to cater to families and kids a little bit, so it's a great way to take your kids to a game. So if you haven't been to a City 2 game, whether you're a super hardcore soccer fan, a casual fan, somebody who just wants to take their kids, a cheap date, like, there's all kind of good reasons, but it's a good time.
Are you asking me out, Brad?
You know, it has been a while since I've been on a date.
The weather's getting nicer, too.
And it's going to be a nice weekend. And so, especially when the first team's out of town, if you want to go out, you want to do something, City 2 games, fun to do. So go do that. Other than that, we are going to have more of the live pods this year. We're kind of working on something right now, so I don't know for sure when the next one's going to be. But
hoping next week, but we'll see.
We have to kind of confirm a guest option. If you're somebody famous and you'd like to be on the podcast, not you, Patty Houlihan. Everybody knows who you are, but you're not that famous. No. Although, he probably is our number one fan. He always tweets that he listens, and I appreciate that.
He stepped in and hustled, and he's.
You know what? It's St. Patrick's Day next week.
Yeah, we will have Patty on. He is in
Patty
charge.
On the pod.
I might have to turn the game down.
He is. I will say he is in charge of our game day breakdown crew. If you would like to get more involved with the St. Luligans, and all you just come to games, you don't have a lot of time, you don't have a lot of money. If you just want to carry some boxes, talk to Patty Houlihan. Patty Houlihan's in charge of the breakdown crew.
I bet the bucket brigade that they're going to set up with that stuff just flies.
Yep. So
a whole lot better than the three of us.
Maybe we will have Patty Houlihan on next week, but maybe not. I don't know.
Fulham corner.
Get him and Stuart and James on. Jesus.
No.
I mean, James is going to L.A. this weekend.
He is.
Maybe we could have him on to report on how things were.
Well, he did post something about them having St. Patrick's Day things that he's trying to steal all of them. So he may not be back. So, we may have to set up the bail fund for him.
If we can get a guest worked out that is worthy of your attention.
I was guest once. I kept coming back.
Yeah, you never know. This could work out.
Why isn't Steve Ewing?
Yeah, even? Steve Ewing. I was hoping he'd take over my slot and I could retire. But anyway, watch the Twitter spaces and the Instagram spaces and the Facebook spaces and whatever else you got to see when our next live pod is and who that guest will be. That's all I got, guys. This weekend's game against LA, kind of a big one. I predict we're going to go in and we're going to get another draw on the road. That's
my prediction. I'd be delighted with that. The Austin draw was good. Yep. A point on the road's all right.
Again, it's the old sports rule. Yep. Win at home, draw on the road.
A pessimist is never disappointed.